Welcome to episode 3 of the We Love Doggos podcast, one of my favorites. It's our Lend a Paw episode.
We are so excited to tell you about amazing community members and their rescue stories. Today we have Nancy Cayley and her two dogs, Chance and Bandit, and the incredible Jane Cox and her rescue dog, Lucy.
I'm Terry.
And I'm Jessie.
Now sit back, relax, and enjoy episode 3 of the We Love Doggos podcast. Ow! Ow!
All right, I'm here today with Nancy, one of our awesome human heroes in our very own community. And I would love to just ask you some questions about your dog rescue journey, Nancy. Thank you for joining
us. Absolutely. Yeah.
First and foremost, how are you today?
I'm very well.
Oh,
I got my two dogs in here laying down with while I'm on the computer, so it's perfect.
Yeah, that's definitely a great start for sure. I have my two rescue dogs on the other side of the screen as well. So
yeah.
I know a little bit about your story, and I'd love to just have you tell our community about Chance and Bandit, your rescue dogs.
Well, Bandit was my first rescue. I happened to go to a breeder's home because he had some, Bandit's called a teddy bear dog, but he's a Shih Tzu and a Bichon.
Okay.
And this breeder was going to destroy him because he has a horrible underbite and he had an umbilical hernia. Well, from raising dogs, I knew about the umbilical hernia. Mom just nipped the cord too close. So I said, no, you aren't destroying him. He's coming with me. So actually, they said they took him to get that umbilical hernia repaired. But when I brought him home, there was still a bulge there. And I had never been around the dog with an underbite. So I didn't know if that was bad for them or what. So we went to the vet. And she said, that underbite just gives him character. It won't interfere with eating, playing, nothing. So, and she said, the umbilical hernia is still there. They didn't repair it well. So there is a bulge. But she said, if it's not bothering him, we're not going to do anything.
Right.
So he didn't have to have surgery. And he is quite the character. I call him my clown because he would just do the silliest things. Like I could be sitting on the couch and I have a tub of toys and things. He'll just go over and take them all out. He doesn't want to play with them. He just wants to empty that tub. So he's just a fantastic dog. And we go to Chance, who is around 62 pounds. He was a street dog in Corpus Christi, Texas. He was living with a homeless man, and he had him tied up to a grocery cart. And the only time they ate, I was told, was when they got in the dumpster. So finally, someone from Animal Services took him away from the homeless man. And of course, when he got in there to be examined, he had heartworms. His color was gray, and he's an all-white dog. And you could see every rib in his body. So he stayed... for a little while, he had to be neutered and, you know, heartworm treatment, which is so hard for the dogs. It just breaks my heart. But he was treated and he came through okay. And he actually went to Ohio. There is a rescue up there that works with veterans and dogs. And the person that had him knew I was looking for a service dog, and she thought he would be great. So I decided to adopt him, and they had a driving chain. There were 12 people that drove like an hour and a half with him, and then they would switch off. So it took him about 2 days to get here. But I decided I wanted a service dog because I do have medical issues. But I wanted a service dog that was fully trained. I just didn't want to slap a vest on him and say he was a service dog.
Right.
So after we got him used to the home and everything, he went through 3 months of training, 3 days a week.
Wow.
And he is a certified a service dog. He helps me up when I fall. If I did fall the other day and he knows, I give him a command to assist and he will come to me and I can steady myself on him and get myself up. So I was so happy he was here because he did what he's trained to do.
Right.
He has skin issues, being an all white dog, that kind of goes together. But I found a great vet who put him on a program. And actually, we were feeding him puppy food because it has more calories.
Right.
And she just knew how to treat him and what he needed. So we went through like a month of treatment and now he's perfect. So he was getting a bath every other week, a medicated bath. And here in New Mexico, it's still pretty warm, so we would go out on the patio, get the hose warmed up, and give him a bath out there. My neighbor, who lives behind me, came to help me. So, I don't know. The stories are great on both of them.
Yes.
I couldn't live without them. I just wouldn't be the same. Chance is also an emotional support dog. He went through the canine good citizen test, passed with flying colors.
Wow.
And actually, on Monday, I had to go get a new phone. I was in the phone store. He was with me. He knows when I am in there and sit down, he's at my feet laying down.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a little while. The lady I had seen sitting at a table said, "Do you ever tell him good boy?" I said, "Oh, yes, he gets lots of praise." She said, "Well, he's been laying there on the floor for a long time. I'm worried about him." I said, "Let me assure you, when we are done and he goes out and gets in his back seat, there will be treats."
Right.
I said, I told her, you know, all about what he, you know, I make him homemade food. You know, he's just well taken care of. And I said, when we go home, we take the vest off and he can be a dog.
Right.
He can run and play, chase Bandit. I said, he's perfect. And she said, "I don't suppose I could pet him." I said, "Well, he is working, but he does have a command." So I said to Chance, "Go hi." He went over to her and she got to pet him and everything. And then I had him come back and do what he was supposed to do. And she said, "Well, I guess I don't have to worry about him." I said, "Do not worry about him. I decided when I got him, he was going to have the best of everything." And that's what we do here. So, but people are always commenting him in the stores and stuff because he is beautiful, all white and kind of stoic looking. And, you know, when they say he's such a good dog, I say, absolutely, he's perfect. So, but that was funny because, you know, the lady thought he was being mistreated laying on the floor. But, and here in New Mexico, he prefers the tile floors because it's hot outside.
Yeah, they're so cool, he loves, right?
Yeah. So, but he, I had to last year go by ambulance to the emergency room. He was on the gurney with me. He pretty much had to be with me all the time. And then we got to the ER. He was laying beside me on the floor, never wavered. Sometimes if I go out to get the mail or something and I don't take him, he will go to the window and just bark and bark and bark at me. So, but yeah, those are my two. I love them. I just wouldn't be here without them.
I appreciate you so much. And what I love about that story is that not only are you a hero to both of your dogs, but it really sounds like Chance is your hero and he enriches your life so much and makes you feel so safe and secure. And yes. I was just wondering, for anybody that hasn't ever adopted a rescue dog, what advice would you give when bringing a dog into your home that is coming from those hardships? What would you recommend?
When I was doing fostering or adopting these guys, I have a little thing. The first 5 days are the hardest. You need to have a lot of patience, work them through what they need to do, give them their food. They might not like it first off, but just keep with it. And that's after 5 days, it seems like they just fit in and they have a routine and they're very happy. So that's kind of what I go by.
That's awesome. And I completely agree. I think that it just takes that extra sense of patience and understanding that this is a new environment for them. And
you don't know. Yeah, you don't know what they've been through, you know, so they get so appreciative after a few days and bring so much love and joy. When I was in Ohio, I was with Speak for the Unspoken. It's a rescue that takes impaired dogs. And I did only puppies. And we counted up when I left to move here, I had about 35 puppies that went through my fostering.
Wow.
They were all adopted out. I had a few that I wanted to foster fail so I could keep them. But my friend said, if you do that, then, you know, someone out there is not going to have a dog to adopt. So I didn't do any foster fails, but I just had the best puppies. Probably my favorite one was deaf and blind.
Wow.
So, I just kind of taught him touching commands, but it was so interesting when he was in my house and getting ready to try to go outside, he would rub his face on the wall. And then when he got to the end of it, he knew he had to turn. So he was simply amazing. And he went to a good home. I still get messages about him. So I just love rescues. So
I certainly do too. And we are beyond thankful that you're a part of our community here, just from your two dogs that you've told us about and the countless other fosters. It really seems like you've put your hand out there for all the dogs in need. And that's so inspiring to not only me, but our whole community. So I really do appreciate you today. It's been so nice to hear
thank you.
And get to know you. It's so fun to see our members like this in person. Awesome. Do you have any final things to share with us? Anything you want to close out with today?
You know, some people are leery about rescue dogs, but I truly feel they are the most amazing dogs in the world. I wouldn't have anything but a rescue dog because, like I said, they all have some inward movement towards you and towards the public when you have them out, and that's the way to go. This group has helped me because I can't do the physical anymore, but I feel like I'm helping dogs being a part of this group and all the things that we do. So, I'm so thankful I got hooked up with you guys.
Awesome, Nancy. And we are so thankful for you. Thank you for your continued support.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello, Jane. How are you today?
I am fantastic. How are you, Jess?
I am so good. For everybody tuning in today, I just wanted to introduce you. This is Jane. She is a hero in action in our We Love Doggos community. And today she's just going to tell us a little bit about her rescue journey with her dog, Lucy. So without further ado, Jane, do you just want to tell us a little bit about that experience?
Well, everyone kind of laughs at me when I talk about a cold day in April for Florida, but it was like it is today. It was 60 degrees out, which for Floridians is very cold.
Yes.
I'm sitting here in sweatpants, and I actually broke down and put one of my doggo t-shirts on and a jacket, but underneath that is like two other layers of t-shirts. It's cold. But I was doing some yard sailing on a Saturday, and I had driven down one of the back roads outside of Tampa, and all of a sudden I was talking on the cell phone, and I looked to my left, and I saw the side of the road move. It was looked like a pile of dirt, but then it looked like it had a tail, and I went, oh my God. So the person I was talking to immediately hang up, swing the car around. I didn't care who I turned in front of. And sure enough, on the side of the road, as soon as I opened up my door, whatever this bundle was, came running, jumped immediately into my arms. And the jacket and the sweatshirt that I had on was nothing but a pile of leaves and dirt and a puppy.
Mm.
And that was Lucy. And the vet said that she was about 8 months old at that time. But she was riddled with fleas, and she was emaciated. She was almost starving to death. I can't even repeat the story because it makes me cry, and I don't want to cry because I'm not a pretty crier at all. He helped me take care of her. He helped me get her back on her feet. And my Lucy right now, I could go get her. She's beautiful and thriving and curly hair. And she's the love of my life. And the irony is I found her on the side of the road the year before my Penny passed away. And my Penny is my pug that I've had for 11 years. And God knew that something like that was going to happen because that destroyed me when I lost my Penny. So Lucy was brought into my world, and she is the love of my life, and she got put here when I needed her to be here. But if it weren't for me just seeing this pile of what looked like leaves move, but in a strange way, you know, they weren't flying away.
Right.
They were moving in a symmetrical form. It was pretty cool. And what was even stranger to me was it was in front of a house that looked like there was a almost like a puppy mill on the side of the house, because there was a blue tent. There were dog bowls all over the ground.
Wow.
So, of course, I called the Humane Society, have them come out and check it, because I'm not letting that go. She could have easily come from there. And if that's what she looks like coming from there, they need to get gone.
Yes.
So she was one of many, many rescues in my life, but she's the one I kept. I fostered many, got them back to health, and then had them adopted. But she is my love, and I thank God for her every day, because if I didn't have her, I don't know what I would have done when Penny died. I don't know what I would have done. But it's just the love we have for our dogs, and thank God.
Yes, I think that's such a beautiful story. And I think that phrase, who rescued who, is definitely important in these moments to reflect on. And it sounds like both of your dogs have had a huge impact on your daily life.
My animals do.
Yes. And I feel the same about my two girls over here in the background, Ellie Pickles and Delilah Beans.
I love it.
Yes. How have these experiences with rescuing and caring for puppies impacted your life and perspective on animal welfare as a whole?
What it's done is it's made me stronger. It's made me less apprehensive to step up and look at someone and say, what are you doing to your dog? Why are you treating your dog like that? Let me take your dog off your hands for you. if you don't want your dog, let me take him. And I've actually said that to some people and they said, would you please? I'll give you the rest of the food that I have. They've actually said, please come follow me home and I will give you my dog. Because they have so neglected this dog. The dog is dirty, emaciated, not starving, but looks like they're not eating well. It has been abused. And I'm looking at this dog. And you know when you look at a dog and you can just feel the sadness inside of that sweet little animal, it's like, no, no, no. And it's giving me more and more and more strength to step up and say, no. These animals feel pain, feel hurt, feel love, feel joy, just like we do. What gives you the right to treat them that way? Mm-hmm. No one has the right to treat them that way.
Yes. And I can really hear that passion in your voice when you share about this.
Oh, I have. I've been to a friend's house and seen how this woman has and found out the wrong way, how she has four dogs and she has kept all four of her dogs in kennels the entire time that they've lived in her house. And I have not done anything about it because she is the best friend or the good friend of someone who is close to me. And I have made a promise not to do anything because she was going to do something about it. Well, nothing has yet been done about that. And as I'm talking about it right now, it's going to be done today. That's the only time in my life where I have ever hesitated to save a dog. And these dogs live in those kennels 24/7 and they are abused and they are neglected. One has lived in a kennel so long that it is afraid to come out. It won't even walk. Wow. It poops in the kennel. It eats in the kennel. It sleeps in the kennel. No, no. So this is what this has done for me, is it's just made me stronger and stronger and stronger to step up and say, you do not have the right to abuse an animal just because it can't talk to you in human words. No, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, no, I think it's very powerful what you're sharing. And I think it's something important for all of our community members that are listening in to reflect on themselves and what we as a community can be doing in these situations. And I think, as you shared with Lucy, step one in that situation was kind of taking in the environment that she was in and then calling your local Humane Society to kind of investigate further and see what we can do to get these dogs out of these difficult situations. So I appreciate that share for sure.
Oh, especially here in Florida. There are so many puppy mills here in Florida that it's heartbreaking, the things that we see. And the more I come up on them, the more they get turned in. Yeah. And I'm not the only one. I have a group of friends here that are all passionate, passionate animal lovers. And I love the group that I'm with. And thank God they all support what I do and I support what they do.
I think community is how we save lives here with our We Love Doggos community, for sure. We definitely couldn't do it without people like you in our community. And in regards to Lucy, I definitely wanted to hear some of the joy that she's given to your life. I know she comes from very difficult beginnings, but how has that evolved over time? And if you could share some of those heartwarming moments or milestones.
She had kind of a rough beginning. She was not that I didn't already say that, I apologize, but she was actually, because of that beginning, it seemed very hard to train her. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like all it took was love, because I'm used to being able to just easily train the basics from a dog. And for her, it was love her, teach her to go outside. Even though she had accidents inside, be patient with her. The more I loved her, the more she was willing to do for me. And it just took so much love and so much patience. And granted, I'm human, okay? There were some times where when I got out of bed and stepped in something I didn't want to step in, I wasn't all that patient. But especially on the bathroom carpet, come on.
She understood the concept of bathroom, right?
She was there. Yeah, she was there. She was there. but she's not supposed to use my bathroom. Okay. But she made it possible for me to learn actually more about myself, if that makes any sense at all, and where my patience is. Because here I thought I was like the most patient person when it comes to animals, because I just love animals, right? Right. I love cats and dogs and any animal. I'm an animal lover in the world. I would never hurt an animal. No, not at 3 o'clock in the morning. No. But it is amazing what we can learn about ourselves that we take the time to listen to what they're trying to tell us and what we're trying to teach them.
That's a beautiful message to end on today, Jane. I really can't thank you enough for what you've done for the dogs in your community, your two beautiful rescue dogs that you've had, and our community as a whole. So
yes, thank you.
Our whole community. Thank you for being a human hero yourself.
And I'm ready to do more for our community. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you. All right, everybody. That concludes our interview with the lovely Jane, and we hope you've enjoyed this rescue story.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Wow, right? Good advice on getting you the box of Kleenex ahead of time. Just two amazing community members doing great things for dogs. If you got value out of this and you have some friends who love dogs, please like, subscribe, get the message out there. This is all in our effort to make the world a better place for dogs. And the more dog lovers we can get here doing that, the more we can do.
Absolutely. And next week, I'm so excited. We're going to learn a little bit more about one of our charity partners, Kara, and the Underdog Railroad. So be sure to tune in to that. Until next time, thanks for joining us on the We Love Doggos podcast.
Ow!